Good morning and welcome to the table. My name is Matt, and we actually want to share something for those of us that are here in the sanctuary that might help you. This is our first day to gather this year with the air conditioning on. And so what that may be important for you to know this, that the air comes over and drops over there. So if you're seated over in this area, it means you desire to have cold air dropping on you. If you're in this area, it means you don't desire that. And we want all means all. And so we want you to move as you feel led to find a space that feels comfortable. And if it shifts during worship, just feel free to move around. We'll make our way. We are going to open this morning with a moment to just root Mother's Day in its actual radical past. And so some of us may be aware of this history, but Mother's Day actually began, Anne Jarvis is the person who is most often associated with its founding, back in 1858. And she is considered the founder then of Mother's Day because she invited moms to address the health conditions that children were living in, and to address the community then to come together to address how moms were living in her part of West Virginia. And as she did this in 1858, she inspired others. Her legacy inspired the prominent abolitionist and suffragette Julia Ward Howe. And Howe then called for a day in 1870 in which mothers would work for peace in accordance with what she was writing, the Mother's Day Proclamation. These are her words from 1870. Arise then, women of this day. Arise, all women who have hearts, whether our baptism be that of water or of tears. Be women of one country, will be too tender to those of another country to allow our sons to be trained to injure theirs. From the bosom of the devastated earth, a voice goes up and our own. It says, disarm, disarm. The sword of murder is not the balance of justice. So I invite us to take a breath and to join in a spirit of prayer as we gather in the deep roots of this day. God of resurrection, power, and awe, we acknowledge that this day actually brings mixed emotions. Some of us arrive here with joy and with profound gratitude, and others of us come holding grief and even hurt. So whatever memories and emotions and feelings we might hold as we gather, may we be stirred by the roots of Mother's Day, called to make a difference, trusting that as we cross great divides, your joy and peace will abide. With you as our peace, God, may all fighting cease. Amen, amen, amen.
You gave your life to make a difference. You gave your life to make a change. You will go. Few or many.
I wonder often if the folds of awe, like roses' petals always speaking colors more, aren't the folds of the holy, too, the rolls and wrinkles of millennia of hope etched in the galaxy's twinkles and found in the gatherings of many, and the light of epiphany, and the ocean's deep, and when siblings do keep, and in ache, and in love. And we are given an advocate, that we do not find ourselves alone. Has this not always been so? Are not all arcs of awe some pathway home again? I heard the placenta named our advocate, and I stood there, imagining that first trinity of parents and babe and some interim organ leaning, as much as could be, all the ways towards life. From the first, we are we, and there is awe in that.
I lift my eyes up to the hills. This my morning song, where my strength comes from. I lift my eyes up to the hills. This my evening song, where my help comes from. This is the gravity of love, just as the moon follows the sun. You're all around me, you're holding everything. This is the hope of every land, just as the universe expands. Your love is reaching, you're holding everything. We lift our eyes up to the hills. When will our help come? Lord, we cry, how long? We lift our eyes up to the hills. Even as we run, hope is chasing us. This is the gravity of love, just as the moon follows the sun. You're all around me, you're holding everything. This is the hope of every land, just as the universe expands. Your love is reaching, you're holding everything.
I see infinite stars, one for every human heart. And with all of these suns, I know I am not alone. This is the gravity of love, just as the moon follows the sun. You're all around me, you're
This feels really appropriate for Mother's Day, as that's my 7-year-old's favorite song. sometimes I turn the volume down in the car so I can hear his little voice singing. My name is Emily Gardner. I'm on the Tables Administrative Board, and I represent our littlest friends in the nursery and our elementary school kids at Godly Play. And Sarneet Prasad, our lovely, wonderful, effervescent Sunday morning coordinator, is away in Fiji visiting his family. And in his absence, I'm so grateful to welcome you here to worship this morning, both in person and online. For those of us gathering online at thetable.live, Chloe is with you as our host this morning. Please message her in the chat if you have questions or need any help. Today's bulletin is available with QR codes. There's some little squares on the end of the pews for those in the sanctuary, and a link will also be shared for those online. So I have a little announcement to make. We will be transitioning from Godly Play to our summer children's activities beginning June 4th. It's a time when we give our really wonderful and consistent all year round Godly Play teachers a break. And we would love for parents or other adults to get involved and sign up. We have it right on the front page of our website, a little spot where you can sign up and tell us if you're interested. And if you'd like to help with art or outdoor activities, we have a great new play structure out there that the kids are gonna love. And I really love to volunteer in the summer. I think it's a great way to get to know our kids. There's a little less structure, a little more just creative, fun energy swirling around. So we would love to have you sign up to help once or more than once. We're going to be having that for about 3 months. So a link is on our website. Feel free to sign up or feel free to get in touch with me after the service. If you would like to learn more about our community of faith, please text the word NEW to the number up there on the screen. And when you feel ready to connect with others and learn more about the table, our co-pastors lead a series called Growing in Faith. It's designed to help newcomers learn more about how we share in life together here at the table. The next one will be offered on June 9th and 10th in a retreat format. Please learn more and sign up online at thetableumc.org. I invite you now to stand in body or in spirit as our music team shares a song by Stevie Wonder called Love's in Need of Love Today.
He's your friendly announcer. I have serious news to pass on the Everly Baddie. What I'm about to say could mean the world's disaster, could change your joy and laughter to tears and that love in need of love today. Don't delay, send us in right away. Hate's gone round, breaking many hearts. Stop. Of evil plans to make you its possession, and if it will let it in, we'll destroy everybody. We all must take precautionary measures. If love and peace you treasure, can you hear me when I say it's that love in need
send Josie right away.
At this time, I'd like to invite our children to move upstairs with our teachers for Godly Play. I see Victor in the back is ready for you. Our musicians will help us with some walking music. Godly Play is our ministry for elementary school-aged kids. If you have other little ones, our loving professional child care is in the nursery in the A-frame back there. Love their happy squeals. So our reading this morning comes from John chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. I'll be sharing an adaptation from the First Nations version, which is an indigenous translation of the New Testament, and we invite you to follow along on the screen. If you love me, you will walk in my ways. I will ask the mother to send one who will always walk beside you and guide you on the good road. She is the spirit of truth, the one this world is not able to accept because it does not see or know them. But you know them, for they are with you now and will be soon in you. I will not leave you like a child with no parents. I will come back to you. Soon this world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I will live again, you will also live. When that day comes, you will know that I am in the Mother, that you are in me, and that I am in you. The ones who walk in my ways and stay true to my message love me. They will be loved by my Mother, and I will love them and show them my true self.
As our musicians move down, I invite us into a spirit of prayer. God, may the depths of your unfolding grace guide the words that will be shared, hold the meditations of our hearts, and lead us ever deeper into your healing love for this day. Amen. My brother Tyler came to visit us here in Sacramento at some point during the very first year that we were planting the table. This would have been back in like 2009 or 10, and we had just moved from like Pastor Linda and her family and Sarah and myself. Eleanor had just been born, and a few other folks that were with us in that moment, and we gathered here in the front of the sanctuary for what we've come to know as kitchen tables. At the time, we were just trying to figure out how to practice our faith. We didn't have language for all the things necessarily that we were doing. At that moment, we had two kitchen tables, so we would divide up when folks got here. Some folks would go with Linda, and some folks would go with me into another space. We hadn't even started to worship yet on Sunday morning at that time. And so Tyler came out from Kansas City, and he joined Linda's kitchen table for that evening. And he's always been supportive. And at that moment, he'd been just watching us from afar for those first months as we were getting started. This is his first time to be with us in person. And so we got everything cleaned up, and we sat down in the fireside room. And it didn't look nearly as beautiful then as it does right now. But we sat down in the fireside room, and we said, "So Tyler, what did you think?" And anybody that knows both me and my brother knows that he's the sweet one. He's the nice one. So it's a safe question to ask him. He's going to lead with just kind of encouragement and niceness. I'll just let you fill in the blank about what that means for his other brother. In unsurprising niceness, my only brother looks at us, and he's really careful with his words. He says, "You guys are really enthusiastic. I know that you've actually done a lot of work, and I need you to know that was completely uncomfortable. I don't know those people, and they were sharing really deep things, and I did not know where to begin. I don't think this is going to work." He was trying in the nicest way to help us see that, like, what happens in a kitchen table for someone that's just walking in can actually be too much. He didn't know it back then, but he was actually using this kind of brilliant theological frame to say it too. He said that we were enthusiastic. And so the Greek scholars in the room will know that in theos, the root of that, is in God, or more colloquially, we might say, God's gotten into you. He looked at us and said, "God's gotten into you." God may have gotten into us, but Tyler was concerned that new people would find this scary. To be deeply vulnerable, to like dive into the deep end before you've put your feet in the water in the shallow, it can be really intimidating. And so that feedback helped us to realize that we actually need a process to help welcome newcomers into a community of faith. See, up to that moment, new people would join us, and we would go from like sitting and having coffee at Naked Coffee Shop. That sounds vulnerable and intimate, but it's really not. From sitting and having coffee at Naked to like, "Come and let's talk about how it is with your soul. How are you loving God and loving your neighbors?" And it was a lot. It was a lot. So we realized that we needed a way to step into that process, to learn some of that language. Our daughter's playing in a volleyball tournament today. Like, we need the coaches in the room know we've got to like work on some of these things to build our skills as we go into that space. And so these kitchen tables, they're groups of 4 to 7 people, and we meet weekly to watch over each other in love. We hold our lives in conversation with the Great Commandment, listening for how each person in that circle is practicing their faith by loving God and loving their neighbors. We try to hold ourselves as close as we can to that invitation or call. It's a structure, you could say, for reflecting on how we practice our faith. And so we created a 6-week series to try to help us to do that, and now we call that series Growing in Faith. And that series has introduced people to these weekly practices, these ways of sharing life together, of holding ourselves close to the heart of God's call. And that's where our reading, it actually picks up from where we left off last Sunday, but that's what it invites us into. John 14 is the version that Emily shared for us. "If you love me, you will walk in my ways." Or a more traditional translation often says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And then what follows is this stunningly powerful promise of what life together will look like as we hold ourselves close to those commandments, just like we try to do in our kitchen tables. And we might remember from last week that Creator Sets Free has just let his followers know that he's not going to be leading a violent uprising and revolution against the Roman Empire. Instead, he is going to confront empire sideways with nonviolent, compassionate resistance. It's an upside down way that's actually going to lead not to a quick overturning, but actually to suffering and even to death, death that he will trust God has the medicine, for God is God, to find a way through, even in that. It's like I hear as Omari was singing, love's in need of love today. They're recognizing the mess that they're in that moment. The followers of Jesus have their hearts on the ground. They're in grief. They're facing the future with the prospect of not having the one who they're patterning their life after with them. And then in today's reading, Jesus comforts them, reminding, just as Omari did in song, that the Spirit will be sent to come alongside us, an advocate, a helper, calling us onward in loving as Jesus loved. And oftentimes I find, especially as I'm still sitting at coffee shops with people, our images of God get so deeply disconnected from the intimate ones that Jesus invites us into. Oftentimes when I meet with people and they're talking to me about their image of God, God is usually up there. God is often out there. And Creator sets free, invites those that have their hearts on the ground to imagine otherwise. Jesus doesn't say, keep my commandments, and then, if I deem that you've done that well, I'll let you abide in me. That could have been where this text went. But instead, Creator sets free, says, abide in me as I abide in you. Love me as I have loved you. Come close to me and live in me in love. And you will, by holding that closeness, keep my commandments. The Spirit, the Advocate, the Helper, the one that comes alongside will be with us to help us in turn come alongside the broken and beloved world that God cares so deeply about. Dr. Angela Parker writes about this text. She says, this week's pericope, or like the short reading, this week's short reading begins and ends with love. And it's our hope that rooting our lives in grace each week in worship and growing in faith in kitchen tables helps our community of faith to begin and end with love. And we do that by walking in the ways of Creator sets free, keeping the commandments of Jesus by holding our lives close, close together, close to the Spirit. Norman Wirzba is a professor and ethicist at Duke University, and he writes about it in beautiful language that I'd like to share with you. Norm says, to learn to love, you have to practice with other people. With other people who are committed to inspire you when you are tired, celebrate you when you succeed, and comfort you when you fail. You need to see what other people are doing when they work at love, and pay particular attention when the work gets hard, so that you can better prepare for your own attempts at love. You need to talk with others about what love means and requires, hear about past mistakes and successes, and learn from the memories and traditions that help communities thrive. All of which means to learn the love, the ways of love, you have also to learn the ways of communal life. I've actually found the writing of Dacher Keltner and his book Awe these last weeks really helpful at helping me to see the ways that awe and practicing love and learning the ways of love are intimately tied up together for me. This is our fifth week of trying to hold the stories in the season of Easter alongside Keltner's work on awe, his research and study of awe, and how we might practice ways of opening up to awe in our daily lives. I'm really grateful for the person in this community who shared about awe in their deep commitment, because it was them writing in the deep commitment about taking an awe walk that made us wonder, what is an awe walk? And to find this person who studies over in Berkeley. And then he started to get more traction, and people heard him maybe on NPR and on Bean, and we started then to get a lot of emails about, you should maybe check this out. And I have found, and we hope you have as well, inspiration in the ways he invites us into these practices to cultivate ways of opening up to awe. And this morning, we're reflecting on his chapter on spirituality. It has an interesting title. The title of this chapter is The Fundamental It, How Spiritual Life Grows Out of Awe. I've loved the book, and I want to acknowledge that I wish the chapter were as profound as the title. But I found this chapter a little bit wanting, and I want to just name that out loud because I want to have more conversation with you all about this as we keep going. Did I say that nicely? Thank you. Maybe I'm the nice brother after all. Older brothers can learn new tricks too. Keltner actually, he writes an entire section in this piece about how spirituality grows out of awe, about the scientific study of psychedelics and how those can fast track people to experiences of awe. And what I found myself longing for, instead of imagining that spirituality could somehow be a quick fix that comes out of awe, I found myself longing for a deeper dive, I'll say, into what the lifelong journey of communal life rooted in the spirit actually looks like. And instead of going into that space, maybe what Keltner does is and takes us to the edge of awe and then gives us permission to work on that together, is what I'm coming to see. He opens the chapter actually with a really beautiful reflection on the life of a pastor. Her name is Reverend Jennifer Bailey. And he shares about her faith journey and invites us to hear a little bit of her journey. For those that aren't familiar, Jen is a pastor and writer and a public theologian. She's a leader in a multi-religious, multi-faith movement for justice in this country. And after reflecting on her own faith journey, Jen shares this, and I think some of you might resonate with her words. After telling the story of how she came into church community and into spiritual community in the Christian tradition, she says, "I guess I'm composting religion. I guess I'm composting religion." Dacre Keltner writes about her. He says, "Reverend Jen's composting metaphor suggests that mystical awe follows a pattern of decay, distilling, and growth." And this would seem to fit Jen's own life story of breaking down the sexist and colonialist strains of Christianity, distilling a spirit that she found in the faith of African American women, and growing mystical feeling with others in her ministry. It's my sense, actually, that many of us here at the table are composting Christianity. We do the work of composting by gathering in worship together, in ways that we hope emboldens us to break down some of the oppressive elements of our tradition, to wrestle with and distill through our kitchen tables and in worship as well, what it means to follow in the ways of Jesus, and growth out of that, growth in communal life shared together with others that is always an unfolding process. And practicing our faith together in these ways leads us deeper into communal life, where we actually learn to love by abiding together in the Spirit of God. This is the way of life that we share together in hopes of holding ourselves close to Jesus's promise. Jesus says, "I'm in God, and you in me, and I in you." Steve Holmes invites us into a composting experience of this story. Steve writes, "There's only one thing, and we are all part of it. It's all love. God is the Holy One, the Holy Oneness, The universe is inside God. God is in us. We are all part of one another. Sin is the delusion of separation. Salvation is being included in the whole. Holiness is harmony. Love is including. Faith is reaching out. Hope is trusting all this. Prayer is paying attention. Righteousness is joy and gratitude and being here. Being here. Creator Sets Free longs for us to move from standing in admiration with our mouths open wide at an experience of awe toward abiding with neighbors and with God. And it's our hope that experiences of awe might lead us with enthusiasm, to letting God get in us, abiding in us as we abide in God in the daily, lifelong work of practicing faith. For that, friends, that abiding is all we have, and it's actually all we could ever need. Amen.
Fast falls the even tide, the darkness deepens. Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help
triumph still, if thou abide with me.
earth's vain shadows flee. In life, in death, Lord, abide with me. In life, in death, Lord, abide with me.
Let's remain standing and soak this moment in. And even as we marinate in the beauty of song, the lyrics that come from us from generations ago, telling us that it is not new, our struggles. Mm-hmm. Even in the midst of that, the invitation to abide in God's love, and that enthusiasm can feel sometimes, even in moments like this, like too much. Mm-hmm. And so we choose otherwise. And because we know that about our human nature, we pause. And we pause every Sunday, mostly, before we approach God's table to acknowledge the ways in which that too muchness gives us fear. And the ways that God moves, as Stevie Wonder put it together, will transform and upend the world. So I invite us, holding all of that, to move into a prayer that we pray together. It'll be on the screen, which the church calls the prayer of confession. Let us pray. God of resurrection, power, and awe, you long for us to love you by walking in your ways and keeping your commandments. Yet we resist learning your ways of love. We settle for the delusion of separation. Forgive us, we pray. Amen. Friends, the whole cosmos, all is held inside God. And God is inside each of you. And we are all part of one another. The Great Spirit lives and loves through each and every one of us. Thanks be to God. May God's abiding presence, which is right here, be our amen. But let's say it loudly. Amen.
And I invite us to join in the call and response, that practice for recognizing the love of God in each and every neighbor around us. Friends, may the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Gracious God, we give you praise and thanks for this holy communion, the body of Christ, for your beloved Son. Father, we bless your name and take part in this holy communion. Make us all one, good like the sun. The body is broken, God's love.
Invite us into prayer together with the words that the church has named the Lord's Prayer. And this is a version that comes to us from the New Zealand Prayer Book. Let us pray.
Eternal Spirit, earth maker, pain bearer, life giver, source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echoes through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the earth. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen.
Pour your Spirit, God, upon each of us gathered here and over these gifts which are before us. Make this your body and your love, and make us, through this meal, your hope alive today. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. All are welcome at the table of God's love, and when we say all, we mean everyone. We encourage everyone who is with us online from wherever you are gathering, either alone or with companions, to bring close to you whatever you are using this morning for this feast. For those of us who are here in the room, we will celebrate God's feast here in the room. And there will be stations up front and a station in the back. We serve bread that was made for us in the bakery this morning, as well as crackers that have no gluten in them. And in the cup, there is always grape juice. Okay. We want everyone to remember and to hold that many of us make this a life practice. Many of us have never done anything like this before. And most of us might be somewhere in between, having been courageous just simply to get up this morning and to walk through those doors, right? And so we hold each other tenderly as we are in God's divine dance. And if you see anyone that seems to be a little lost, just let them know by modeling what it is we're doing and where we're moving. There are places to pray all around the sanctuary, either standing or kneeling. You can light a candle, or you can simply stay exactly where you are and breathe. You can't make a mistake.
Friends, this is the body of Christ and the bread of life broken for you, and the cup of God's healing poured out for all. Linda, the bread of life broken for you.
Body of Christ, man, broken for you and for all of God's people.
Amen. Amen. we encourage those praying with candles to stay for as long as you desire in that spirit and place of prayer. Loving God, we surrender all of the ways that we separate ourselves from one another and from you. May your love abide within us, holding us close, that we might walk in your ways. Amen, amen, amen. We hope that you will feel inspired by God's love to respond in any number of ways. We don't know what that might look like for you in this moment, but we hope God will call you out in the world to practice your faith in ways that will upend the way that it is and invite more intimacy and love and beauty. Some of us practice our faith here at the table by responding to God's love, sharing generously from our own resources to help our ministries align with how God is healing and moving in the world. And we invite you to join with us in that act, the church's practice of generosity, to give as generosity is what that looks like for you and to wonder about that today. You can do that by sharing online. You can also make gifts here in the sanctuary. We'll soon have an announcement about our final total for our Easter offering. I think that should be totaled in the next couple days, and we'll have that for you all. A couple of next steps that we would encourage or invite you to consider, and one of those is that we are going to be hosting a gathering out at Table Farm, and this is as Sacramento and as the country and as the world celebrates Pride in June. On June 3rd, we will have a gathering, a potluck, and a celebration out at the farm from 10 a.m. to noon. You can sign up on our website now, and there's a way that you can even coordinate what you're going to bring so that the potluck is very queer in that way. It will just be beautiful. Amen. And you can sign up to do just that. We hope you will. All are welcome. We'd love to have you join us out there from 10 a.m. to noon on June the 3rd down at the farm. We also want to make two invitations as our musicians come up. One of those, as Emily named, we would love to have teens and adults watch over our children in love. And you can sign up for that outside. We can help you, or you can do that on your phone. We're also making a huge shift in the ways we organize our hospitality team. And we would love your help with this. The way you can help us is going on your phone right after worship, or right now for those that are gathering online, and to sign up to be part of the hospitality team. When you do that, we're crunching the numbers. It takes something like 30 people a Sunday to just like make this space beautiful and welcoming. And so we would love to have you sign up today to be part of those hospitality teams. It's a great way to meet other people and connect. You can sign up and be part as we switch over to this new system. To be part of that. And then when Sarnit comes back from Fiji, he's just going to come back to this system of hospitality that is going to be so amazing. And don't tell him. Shh. And we want to celebrate two things this morning with our musicians as we prepare to go out in song. And one of those is Grace is going to be with us for some more time this summer, but she's actually going to be heading off. Grace is to San Francisco State to be part of the music program there. And so we are thrilled. We're thrilled for that next step, and we're mostly thrilled that San Francisco's only about an hour away, and Grace is going to be able to be back with us at different moments. And then we are also really thrilled to welcome Ariel Deem this morning to our full music team, who will be with us now. It was so hard not to do that after the opening song this morning, to welcome Ariel officially as part of our team, who will be with us on Sunday mornings, week in and week out. And we are so grateful for each and every one of you and all of the ways you help us to root our lives in grace. And we're going to keep doing that. I invite you to stand. I'm going to stop talking. As Brendan would say, the blah, 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 blah is now over. And we are going to go out in song.
Loving every night and day, loving all our troubles away. We're gonna love it like there's no tomorrow. Loving every minute and hour, loving past our own power. We're gonna love it like there's no tomorrow. We're gonna love it like there's no tomorrow. We're gonna love it like
Friends, God is sending an advocate, a spirit, a helper to come alongside you that we might love like there's no tomorrow. Go in peace. Amen.
And we're gonna love like there's no tomorrow. We're gonna love like there's no tomorrow. Love like there's no tomorrow.